God's word. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father, as we look at your word on this third Sunday of Advent, we ask that you would help us to be able to see your great works of salvation, and Lord, that we would also feel them, that we would savor what you have given to us, and that we would be rejoicing, God, in all that you have done for us. So give us eyes to see, give us hearts to feel this morning what you have for us. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So during this Christmas, many families will watch the musical Sound of Music. I'm sure maybe some of you have already watched it. I'm not a big musical guy. I prefer to probably just fast forward through the songs, and I like the story. I like how it carries, but I usually don't get into the songs of many movie musicals. But when it comes to a musical like Sound of Music, how can you not remember the songs that are in there? Like 16 Going on 17, you know, or Climb Every Mountain, you know, or the last, you know, So Long Farewell. You know, and you're probably now singing them in your head. I bet it. I bet some of you are. Now, surprisingly, the Bible is filled with many songs. The people of God have always been a singing people. Sometimes we can treat the Bible songs kind of the way we might treat a movie musical. We want to fast forward through them. We want to skip by them and not realize the significance, the reason why they're there, what they can teach us, what they're showing us. And this morning I just read for you a very special song from the Gospel of Luke. This is called Mary's Magnificat. It's titled after the Latin use of the word magnifies. So you would have heard me read, Mary says, she magnifies the Lord with her soul. So this is called Mary's Magnificat. If you want to think about this song, you can think of it even as the very first Christmas carol. Luke 1:46, the very first Christmas carol. So have you ever thought much about God's people, the church, being a singing people? Maybe you've kind of, over the years, looked at church worship services, and, you know, you're like, well, there's the singing part, and that's the time filler, and then we get to the other stuff that maybe really matters, you know, like the message, or even maybe hearing the kids' choir sing, or whatever it might be. Or maybe for you, it's something else. Maybe it's just like you think, well, I can't sing, so that part doesn't really matter. Why would I even put myself out there? This morning, we're going to see Mary give voice in her famous song for why we should sing. So we're going to work through Mary's song with three questions. What reason did Mary have to sing praises to God? What reason did Mary have to sing? What reason do we have to sing? And then finally, third, what's holding us back from singing praise to God? So what reason did Mary have? What reason do we have to sing praises to God? And then what's holding us back from singing praises to God? So what reason did Mary have to sing praise? Now, every song has a story. Well, at least most songs do, unless maybe AI develops it or something. Then there's no story. It's just, you know, code. Every song has a story. So think about Johnny Cash and I Walk the Line. That song has a story. Probably a lot of you know that story. He was traveling. He was on the road with Elvis, and he was being tempted to break his marital vows, right? He was on the road with Elvis. And he wrote, I Walk the Line. There's a story behind that song. And Mary's Magnificat has a story behind it too. So if you go back in the book of Luke earlier in chapter 1, Mary is visited by the angel Gabriel, and you can read all about that there. And the angel comes and gives Mary this message that she's going to bear a child, even though she's a virgin, and this child is no ordinary child. He's going to be the Son of the Most High. And Mary gets this news, and she's just like, wow. And she takes off, and you can read this, keep reading in Luke chapter 1, and she takes off, makes haste, it says, and she runs to go see her relative named Elizabeth. And Elizabeth lives a long ways away from where Mary lived. Some scholars say maybe 80 to 100 miles. So she gets this news from Gabriel. Now she travels maybe 3, maybe 4 days to her relative named Elizabeth. She gets to Elizabeth's house. And something happens. As soon as Elizabeth hears Mary, Elizabeth's pregnant, she feels her baby leap in her womb. And she exclaims this in Luke chapter 1, verse 42 and 43. Elizabeth says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And culturally, this interaction between Elizabeth and Mary is completely backwards. Because Elizabeth is the older one, Mary is the younger, and yet it's flipped. And you can see Elizabeth is honoring Mary, the mother of my Lord. Completely flipped over. And Mary experiences all this and is like, God is doing something amazing. He's transforming even the way people interact with one another because of this child that she is bearing. And so she breaks forth into this song that I read for you starting in verse 46. And Mary's song is a deep expression of personal joy. She's got personal joy just blowing right out of her. You can see it in 46 and 47. She uses the personal pronoun my 3 times. My soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in my God or my Savior. In God my Savior. So you see a little bit going on there. Mary's soul magnifying and her spirit rejoicing, that's communicating the same thing. It's one and the same idea that's happening there. And she's simply declaring her deep personal joy in the Lord. And it comes out in singing. Something's happened inside of her, and now it's just overflowing in song. So what's occurred in Mary to bring out this song? What's happened to her? Has she encountered some new idea? Has she maybe come across some, say, oh, now I know how to live my life. I've got a new rule for life. Or I've found a new maybe spiritual guru to help me on my way. That's not what has happened to Mary. She says, God is my Savior. She's singing because something has come to her from outside of her. God has looked upon her. God has bestowed grace upon her. God has noticed her situation. He's seen her. So when you think about Christianity, true Christianity, the essence of it is not self-help. It's not another rule of life. At the true core of Christianity is God bringing help or deliverance in from the outside. And that's what Mary is experiencing, even as she gets this news from the angel. And now God has literally broken into her life, taking up residence in her womb. How could she not have been filled with deep personal joy? Now look at what she says next, verse 48. "For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed." Now that phrase, humble state, that's older language. And Mary is just communicating through that phrase that she was of no account to anyone in the world. So world leaders were not stopping by Mary's place, consulting her on decisions. In fact, she could be out in the marketplace and people look right past her, right through her. She would have been invisible to most people. Ordinary, average. Do you feel invisible sometimes to others? Do you feel like people maybe are looking right through you, that nobody even notices you? Mary sings because the God of the universe has seen her, has taken notice of her in her humble estate, and has done something for her. I mean, culturally, Mary was a nobody. Yet because of God's mercy, she's saying, all generations will call me blessed. All generations. Now, if you grew up in a Protestant church or maybe in an evangelical church, we tend to skip over Mary's words that all generations will call me blessed, what she wrote, said there. However, if you did maybe grow up in a Catholic tradition or something like that, you may have been taught that Mary's blessedness means that she was sinless, that she had no sin at all in her life. But look at Mary's song again. If Mary was sinless, if she had no sin, then why would she break out in this song with these words and say, God, my Savior. God, my Savior. Mary was blessed because God had broken into her life. And he had come and he had rescued her as Savior. Mary was not perfect, just like we're not perfect. But Mary had experienced God's great blessing from the Lord. And so her song then becomes this product of true personal joy. Something on the inside has happened to her. So what reason then do we have for singing? There's a significant transition that happens in Mary's song. Mary moves from using me language to singing about how God can bring salvation to others. So look at verse 49 and verse 50. You can see the change happen. So she says, "For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation." So she makes a transition for me and then for those. So Mary's song is for all who would fear the Lord. So we actually get two critical reasons here for why we can sing. First one is this: God is ready to extend his mercy to all who would revere him, who would fear him. So simply put, you can think of it like this: God has wave after wave after wave of mercy available for all who stand in awe of him. Wow. And mercy defined is simply not getting what we deserve. Not getting what we deserve. So think if you're employed by a boss and you start maybe stealing from them. You start doing some other stuff, lying, cheating, whatever. Like, what do you deserve? You deserve at least a demotion. Probably deserve to be fired. What do we deserve for sinning against a holy God? Well, we deserve judgment from the Lord. And yet there is mercy available. We don't have to get what we deserve. A great song that we sing here in this church, it's called His Mercy Is More. I think it just nails it. Here's one of the verses of this song. It says, "What love could remember no wrongs we have done? Omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore, our sins, they are many. His mercy is more." So why should we sing? Why should we sing? Because God's mercy outmatches our sin. God's mercy outmuscles, if you want to say, our sin. It's more. Now, so there might be some that argue, and they might say, well, Christians, they sing because they're smug and self-righteous. You know, they sing because they're trying to show everybody how much better they are than everybody else. And it's so annoying when Christians sing their carols and whatever, you know? And maybe some people might think that. But actually, if you start seeing what we're seeing in Mary's song, Christians sing for the exact opposite reason. Christians sing because we believe if it wasn't for God's mercy, we're dead in judgment. If it wasn't for God's mercy, we would have nothing. We'd be hellbound. We sing because we have experienced this amazing gift from God, and now it's just overflowing in personal joy, just like Mary had. So it's good to allow that joy of that experience of mercy to overflow in song. Actually, if you look in Psalm 100, verse 1 and 2, it comes out like this. The Bible tells us, says, "Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness." It didn't say sadness. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him. Sing with joy. Sing with happiness. You know, God could have created a world that didn't have singing. Think about that. He could have silenced all song. No musicals to fast forward through. You know? No radio to listen to while we're driving. No Spotify. But song is a way that God gives us to give us voice for the emotion, the good news that he has given to us through his Savior, Jesus Christ. Have you ever watched a European soccer match? And you'll see it, whole stadiums, men singing together in support of their team, even taunting the other team, right? Singing. It's just like this crazy thing. Do we love the mercy of God? Do we love what God has done for us? Then we can sing it. Sing it. Singing expresses our love for him and all that he's done for us. Now, there's a second thing that we can see here in Mary's song for why we should sing. It's the powerful way that God executes salvation. The powerful way that God executes his salvation for us and in the world. So look at verses 51 to 53. Here's what it says. He has shown strength with his arm. So he has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. So the way that God works salvation is not weak. You can see that. It's not weak. So what's happening when God works salvation? Two things at the very same time. And Mary does an amazing job showing us this. Two things are happening at the very same time when God works salvation. What are they? Well, we see the proud are scattered and the humble are lifted up. The hungry are filled and the rich go away empty-handed. So do you see how profound Mary's song is, what she's saying about God's salvation, what two things are happening at the same time? At the same time, God is bringing real judgment on the prideful and real deliverance for those who recognize their need at the very same time. So in our words, it's kind of like Mary's saying, those who think they are good are going to be sent away. But those who know they are bad will get to come in. Those who think they have it all together are going to come to pieces. But those who know their life is in pieces will be brought together. Two things at one time. So the arrival of Jesus is this announcement of a great reversal. Just a total transformation. Mary's song is a declaration of really a revolution of what God is doing. So we're talking about a world that we've always longed to live in. A world where there's justice for the oppressed. A world where there is mercy for the repentant and the humble. So in Tolkien terms, you guys know that I like The Lord of the Rings, everything sad is coming untrue. That's the kind of world that God's salvation creates. So Christians sing because God's salvation changes the world, flips it upside down. I want to ask, a more personal question. What reason is holding us back from singing praises to God? What reason do we have that's holding us back from singing? Now, perhaps maybe for some of you, you're just saying, you just say, it's ability. My family will tell you this. John can't sing. they joke about it after church. That John can't sing, but I sing. Even though I can't. I probably don't have a musical bone in my body. My poor piano teacher when I was in elementary school had to deal with that for years. But even still today, I choose to sing, even if it's off key. So dads, do you want your children to know that you are filled with joy in the Lord, in his salvation for you, in his mercy for you, then sing. Let your kids see you singing. Mary said her soul magnified the Lord. It magnified the Lord. When you think about magnify, you could think about it in two ways. You could have a magnifying glass and go out and look at something really small, like an ant. You know, so a magnifying glass makes something that's really small bigger so you can see it and understand it. But we can also magnify things in other ways. You can magnify a planet with a telescope. So it's something that's really big, but it's far away, and now you can actually see it more plainly with the telescope. So parents, when you are singing, what you're doing is you're making the greatness of God more plain to your kids, like a telescope is. You're magnifying the greatness of God. You're showing your kids who he is and what he's done in your life, the personal joy that you have experienced in him. So don't let ability or you can't sing stop you from singing. Sing, because in that way you are almost acting like a telescope for your kids or for your grandkids. Now, another reason you might have for not singing is that you say, well, you know, I've not personally experienced knowing Jesus as my Savior. And so you don't sing because you say, well, I kind of feel like an imposter singing a song like Joy to the World or Hark the Herald Angels Sing or whatever carol might be going on. When you see Mary's song, this is an invitation to all of us to look to Jesus and to receive him as Savior. He has mercy for those who fear God, and the way we fear God is by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We believe that he died for our sins in our place on the cross to completely cover us. So if you've never experienced that kind of joy, what Christ has done for you, do that today. Confess your sin. Believe in Jesus as your Savior. And then sing. Sing. And you won't feel the imposter syndrome anymore. Sing because the Lord has done a new work in your life. And maybe another reason we don't sing is because we're scared of getting hurt. And here's a way that you can think about this. I grew up in Saskatchewan. I was a Saskatchewan Rough Rider fan, I would say. I knew everything about the Riders. I listened to all the talk shows. Like, I was fully invested. And year after year, they broke my heart. And being the 13th man really became not a funny joke. And so, anyway, long story, went off to be a missionary, and when I came back, I decided, I confess, I'm giving up on the Rough Riders. I can't put my heart out there anymore and then completely have it broken year after year. So I'm going to turn to the NFL. But maybe that's a reason why we don't sing. Maybe we fear to sing because somehow we're worried that God's going to let us down. That he might not come through for us if I really put myself out there. And what if he doesn't follow through? The end of Mary's song is a critical truth for us, if you feel that. Look at verse 54 and 55. This is how she ends it. She says, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. So Mary's singing, and she's singing because she's saying, oh my goodness, that visit from Gabriel, that is God keeping his promise from generations before, a promise all the way back to Abraham himself. And that promise was made to Abraham in the book of Genesis, where God told Abraham that his offspring would be a blessing to all the nations of the earth. And now Mary's getting this message and from the angel and realizing God's promise is coming to fulfillment. And it's happening in my life. God keeps his promises. He may take time to fulfill those promises, but he keeps his promises. So we can pour ourselves into singing without regret. He will follow through on what he has said that he will do. So the Christian faith is a singing faith. And the fact that Christianity embraces singing actually points us to the kind of God that we serve. If you, say, look at another religion like Islam, it's not a singing religion. It's not a religion that really puts any effort into singing or even takes it that seriously. We believe, as Christians, in a God who actually sings. Not just in the church singing and the people of God singing, we believe in a God who sings. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, we can see it says this: "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save, and he will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love." And then it says, "He will exalt over you with loud singing." God singing. So the Lord is singing over his church, over his people. And at the same time in that, we can see his people are singing that we belong to him, our Savior. So we shouldn't wait to start our singing. We can start right now. We have a wondrous and glorious Savior. So a church that's filled with voices of men and women and children is actually a radiant light in a dark world. And it's showing that we believe that Christ, the Savior, has been born. And he's been born for us. Let's pray. Father, it's hard for us not to be moved this morning to see that you are a God who sings. And Lord, would you renew our joy in you this Advent? Would we have the joy of our salvation renewed if we are maybe been down, going through stuff in our lives? And that you would give us a new heart to sing, to see all that you have done for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.